It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time.
Well, this episode is my episode.
Okay.
Oh, you want your episode?
Oh, that's nice.
T2 just said it. Christmas time is here. So I wanted to talk about financial plans for the holidays. Christmas comes around and sometimes people save up until they get to that holiday. Some people save just for the holiday. Mm-hmm. I have a coworker who puts money aside all year because she wants to do Christmas the right way. So she's like actively saving throughout the year just for this time of year. Because I know a lot of people around this time of year, things get tighter than they have been. And I could just imagine, because of the pandemic, things be even rougher for some people. So I wanted to talk about money. Okay. As uncomfortable as that conversation may be, I want to talk about money. So I have some questions for you guys.
Okay.
What was the most amount of money that you've ever had at one point? And what did you do with it?
Well, when I was single, I think the most amount I had was right after I started working.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saving my money because I wanted to get a car. And I wanted to get a brand new car. I didn't want to get a used car or somebody's hand-me-down car. I wanted a brand new first butt in the seat car. I remember that was the goal. So, and I remember people would go to lunch. You know, the co-workers go to lunch. And I would skip going to lunch because I was like, I want to put my whole check-in thing in my bank account so I can. I remember I would take money out for tithing and sometimes I would get like people to take me to work, so like Granny and Aunt Kathy, I would give them money, like $5 for them to take me to work because I didn't have no car. That money I saved for my car, that was the most amount of money I had, because I would put my entire check in my bank account. I wouldn't take nothing out.
So how much money did you have at that time when you bought your car? How much did you give to? How much did you put down?
How much did I put down? I think I put down. I was just looking at those papers because we went through all those files. I think I put down $1,200. But I had saved because I started working a day after I graduated. I graduated in May.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that next, when I got home, I started that next day. I think we took my stuff and put it in storage because I graduated on a Monday and I went to work on Tuesday. And I saved from that. And that was 2002. And I got my car in 2003. So in a year, I saved $5,000. I think I had $5,000 in my account.
So the most money that I've ever had that I had to work for, or that I just got?
Just the most money. Okay. You just got it.
The most that I've ever had at one time, it was like $20,000.
What?
Yeah. That was from my accident.
Oh, yeah.
And that was all, you know, at one time. But then I fumbled the bag. But no, I had that car that I had co-signed for somebody that didn't, you know, pay the bill. So I had to take the car back and get it repossessed. So I had to pay that car off. So that was like
$9,000.
I had to pay for that car and then, you know, paying bills and student loans and all of that. I think I had that money I got it in like November, and the next November it was gone.
Yeah. But that's so funny how like you can touch a lot of money at one point and it can leave it just like that, like at the drop of a hat. The most money that I had at one point was, I want to say, maybe like $15,000, and I got that after Hurricane Katrina. And I used some of it to get clothes and stuff like that, to like, because I lost everything. So like, you know, buy some stuff. I paid for some books with it because I was just getting into college. I think I might have paid for some books with it. But after that, yeah, I was eating nachos. They had this little place in the mall. They had this little place in the mall that would sell like hot dogs. Mm. And I was just going to get hot dogs.
So you pumped your bag, and you also I ate my bag.
Freshman 15.
Yeah. So I spent my 15 to gain my 15.
No, you got your computer. I remember that year you got your computer that year.
Oh yeah, I got.
She got a computer. She replaced a lot of her things. So it wasn't like she was just out there, you know, just.
Yeah, I didn't spend the whole.
It wasn't all
hot dogs, but it was more hot dogs than it should have been. And, you know, but if I was where I am now, then it probably would have been a little bit different. So my next question, has the pandemic negatively or positively affected your finances?
It's been positive because we got the little stimulus check, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're not spending as much because we're staying inside, right?
Yeah.
And not going out as much. And my husband has actually been working more because he's an essential worker. So I think it has positively impacted.
I believe it's been a positive impact. Like T1 said, I'm not commuting. Before the pandemic, I would have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to get my baby to daycare and then get an hour to work because I had to be at work from 7:45. So, I'm not spending all that money on gas, and gas was higher then.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not spending all that money on gas, wear and tear on my car. I'm not spending money for lunch every day because I would eat lunch every day. I would pack lunch, but I would still, you know, tip out at the food truck and see what they had. Wednesday was Chick-fil-A day at work.
I just got a mention, bitch, you tip it out to the food truck.
Hey, food truck man, what you got today? So I believe it has been, and I sometimes I feel kind of bad saying that, but it's had, as far as finances, it's had a little bit more of a positive effect. I'm still working at home.
That's you don't have to pay for daycare?
Don't have to pay for daycare, right? Although I want to.
Oh.
Because she is rowdy. But no. So it's been positive.
I would say the same thing.
Yeah, it's been positive.
Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
And then student loan, I haven't been, you know.
Oh, that's right. They took the interest off, right?
Student loan interest. I've been paying on my student loans.
Yeah. I always been paying on mine, but I'm glad they took that interest off because I would have been done.
I've been paying on mine too, not voluntarily.
I would have been done. what you said non-voluntarily? Oh
yes, man. They were garnishing them checks.
Really? Jesus Christ. Lord have mercy.
They gonna get their money. They say, look,
that's I just think that is dead wrong. They should cancel them things, because especially if for people like us that been out of school for a while and have been paying on the loan, we've paid double with that interest. That
sure have, girl. I've been paying on that loan since year 2000.
Wait a minute.
I was about to say since 1866.
Yes.
Since you said that, you know, it's been positive, the, you know, staying at home and not having to spend so much money on some of the things that we would have spent money on, sans pandemic. What are your plans or your budgeting plans for Christmas? Have you had them at the beginning of the year? Are you going to try just in December to come up with some things? Like, what are your plans? And then I have another question for y'all after that.
Okay. I don't have any plans.
No.
I've heard people having a little Christmas fun, you know, and saving. I've never done that. You can tell me what you want me to buy you and I'll see about looking for it, but I don't feel like I'm in it that much.
Yeah,
to make no whole fun about it. Like some people like go all out with the Christmas vacation and the Christmas decorations, and so they need the money for that. I could understand them saving when you're doing it that big, but you know, I ain't never really did it that big.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, I absolutely love Christmas.
Yeah, this Mariah Carey.
But I do love it. I'm not gonna go.
Yeah. Well, see, I love all that stuff, but I am also very sporadic. So it's like, I can make a plan, but that don't mean it's gonna happen.
I know that's real. I'm not gonna keep up with that. Yeah. I'm gonna be all over
that's something I'm gonna be all on in 2021, because I say stuff. I've been washing clothes for the past 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
And my clothes crawling up the wall. So I have to work on, because that's a part of, you know, financing too, planning. Yes, I was taking a course at work today because I worked a little overtime today. They were talking about how planning and, you know, saving, even if it's 5 cents, just saving something every time you have money, you know, in your hand, not every time you have money in your hand. They said every week or every month, just put something back.
Yeah.
But they said planning is a big part of it. And that mm-hmm. is where, that's what gets me, because I plan, and I say I'm going to do this. And I say every January 1, mm-hmm. I say I'm going to do this money challenge. Every week mm-hmm. I'm going to put some money back. Mm-hmm. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
I might do it one time.
And then and I get mad because I think that's why I don't make the plans, because I get mad at myself
yeah.
for not keeping the plans. So I'm like, I'm just not going to make no plan, because I'm going to be frustrated and mad. And I'm not, because I remember I had, this happened when I was out of college? My senior year in college, mm-hmm. we went to this financial planning thing, and they were saying, get you a mutual fund and all this kind of, they told us about mutual funds. So I went and got a mutual fund.
Okay, I remember that, I feel like.
You remember that? Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, Edward Jones. I got mm-hmm. a mutual fund, and the little guy was like, well, you need to make more money. And I'm like, oh yeah, I would love to make more money. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So that kind of frustrated me. I was like, I'm in this. I'm not making enough money to be in this. You know, I didn't think that mutual funds, at the time, I felt like that's for people that make money, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not making no money. And then so when I moved back home, I transferred my mutual fund. I didn't close it because I thought about it, because I'm like, I'm not going to keep up with this. I think I put $300 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved back home, and the lady that was the representative there, she was like, well, you pay it like you paying a bill. When you pay your car note, when you pay, because she said, you paying yourself. So you put $20 in it every time you get paid. And I was like, I don't know. It's supposed to be something in my spirit. Like, when people tell me what to do with my money, I'm like, I'm not going to do
it. You can't do it.
You can't tell me. It's like, because I was just working, I was fresh out of college, making, you know, your first little job was some people's first little job, and you're a little checking and all that.
Yeah.
Some people. I know some people go make it big or whatever, but I felt like it was like, lady, you don't know my story. You tell me what. I need that $20. You know what I'm saying? I got bills. You know, kids, and I ain't handle kids. You know, I'm just like,
right.
I'm so used to that, and I don't know if it was the way I was raised. I'm so used to it that is. Hard that what is the hard life mm-hmm. narrative? You know that what elderly
pole mouth.
Yeah, I'm just so used to the pole mouthing, and I was like, I can't do that. I need that $20 to pay my bills. My children need food. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it, and I kept it, and I just, sometime I go in there and I put, when they send me like a little newsletter in the mail and stuff, talking about, oh, you can go to vacation, all the wonderful things you could do if you keep up your mutual fund, then I put $20 in it, but I never was consistent with it,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was because of that, and I don't know, I don't have the language to explain it, but it was like something in my spirit. It's like, you telling me to do this, and I ain't even in that life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not on that level. I want to be there, but the man is holding me. You know, all the kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right.
So
I can tell you exactly what it was. It was fear. And
yep, I guess so.
Fear and I think that most finances, the way that they are presented, I don't think so much now. I think some people or kind of like pushing certain gatekeepers out of the way as far as finance go. Like, have y'all heard of, I don't know her last name, but Tiffany the Budgetista?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, like, people like that are putting it where the goats can get it. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that a lot of people don't understand or haven't really put in their minds and actually made themselves believe it is that finances and knowing finances should start at any level.
Yeah.
So if you make $5 an hour, you can still understand how money works. Like, even you might not be wealthy, but you should still understand how money works.
Right.
Yeah.
Me and T3 next week are gonna start working with one of my friends that I used to work with. I'm gonna plug her right quick. Victory Tax, and she has a credit construction underway. And we're going to start working with her. She's going to help us, you know, like, get things removed off our credit, get our credit up, and just, you know, teach us little things we need to do so we can start becoming financially stable like we want to be.
So y'all,
I knew a credit coach, but she ain't had no car. So I was like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'd be a little bit. Because my thing is, like, anybody can give you information. Anybody can give you information. Anybody who reads the books can give you information. But if you haven't had the wherewithal to follow the information that you're about to give me,
right,
I can't take
right.
it. That's why I think, like, even us doing this podcast, I'm not going to encourage all three of us to sit in here and lie and say, oh, well, we making bank, so this is what you need to do with your money. No, let's be honest and say we have not made smart decisions with ours in the past, but going forward, these are the things that we want to do. These are the things that we've, you know, been taught. And these are the things that we're interested in learning. And she got
I'm getting all the money that I can get.
My sisters and all their kids. But y'all touched on, without even knowing it, maybe you did know it, I don't know, but there are four or more elements to building wealth, and y'all just talked about all four of them: budgeting, saving, paying off debt, and investing. So you were doing in the investing part, T1, before you even knew that's an element of building wealth, and you are a part of it. So anybody at any level, we can, you know, we can learn about our finances. So, what's some tools that you might use? So, like a budgeting tool. Do you have like an app that you like to use? Or how do you budget now?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do this thing, and I know this is probably going to sound ridiculous. I do mental budgeting. So, like, I'm always calculating the numbers in my head. So, like, okay, the way my company works, 2 days before you get your direct deposit, you can see what your check is going to be, you know, how much taxes is coming out, if you got any garnishments, how much is coming out of that.
Oh, man.
And, you know, whatever. So, I look at that on Wednesday before the Friday that my direct deposit comes. Mm. And it's, you know, it's salary, so it's going to be about the same every time. I've been working overtime, so it's a little bit more. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Bill collectors, I ain't got no money. Don't come after me. But so I look at it and I say, okay, car note, insurance, you know, because every 2 weeks I have, this is what I'm going to pay out of this check. This is what's coming up, the next check. And I mentally just say, okay, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, it's going to be that. And this, I have three other accounts besides my checking account. And I put, you know, so much of an amount in every account.
Okay. Yeah, we do that.
Yeah. And then after that, I pay my bills out of the rest. Well, first, that's the first thing I do. Once I get my direct deposit, I move my money to my safe. Uh-huh. Well, two of the accounts, one is for my oldest and the second one is for my youngest, and I put their money in there, and then I have in my savings, I put money in there, and then I don't touch that money. It's like it's gone forever. I pay my tithes. If you want to be blessed, you got to pay your tithes and your offering. But anyway, and then after that, you know, my bills come out, and then I leave it at that.
Yeah.
And I try.
The rest of it is hot dog money.
I try not to spend the rest on hot dogs and Chick-fil-A.
Well, I said no, but then after listening to T2, we do that. But I guess it's different now because it's not just me. So we do it together with me and my husband. So, and that's been a different dynamic because I remember, I don't know if she did it with y'all, but Mom, she used to sit me down and she showed me how to balance a checkbook.
She showed me.
Yeah, I had got so good I could balance it down to the penny. Like I could always find everything.
I
remember she taught me that.
She taught me how to do that too.
And I kept up with receipts and stuff like that. And I did that when we first got married, but you know, with technology and stuff, you don't have to do that no more. Everything is paperless. So I'm saying no. And that's just, I'm saying no because I don't actually touch it, you know, I used to. So I'm thinking like, nah. But
and that's exactly what I thought when you said that. I'm like, she probably thinking, no, I don't sit down with a notebook right.
That's what I was thinking. $17 that's exactly what I was thinking.
I'm going to tell y'all
what I do. We got it all automated now. So it's all being done.
I mean, well, you know, most banks and stuff, they even have tools, budgeting tools for you. Mm-hmm, but I like that Mint app.
I've heard about Mint.
I like that one a lot.
My the company that I have my 401k with through my through through my company that I work with, they have budgeting tools, yeah, and they have, like I was talking about earlier, little courses and everything.
And the stuff is free. That's what I like. Like, yeah, the budgeting tool is free. And then something else, since we were about to start talking about investing, I just read this book. It wasn't necessarily about investing, but Clever Girl Finance, I would advise y'all to read it. It's really good. She's another Black finance person. And she makes it really understandable. Her name is Bola.
What is it?
Bola. It's B-O-L-A. Her last name is spelled S-O-K-U-N-B-I.
Mm.
And she talks about the elements of building wealth. She talks about, I think, even like charitable giving and stuff like that.
That was a white book with the red, mm-hmm, the lady in the red dress on.
Yeah. I like her. She has a podcast too. She's really good. She gives a lot of information. And Bank of America has free YouTube videos.
Mm.
So I've been getting into like trying to watch those.
Okay.
Yeah. So the information is out there.
Yeah,
and
is.
I'm so happy that it's not as
as
guarded as it used to be, as convoluted as it used to be. Like, it's really simple. It's just mindset of it all. Like,
yeah,
making yourself, telling yourself, like, okay, this is what I need to do. I can do this.
Oh, I probably need to sit down somewhere with a notebook and write down everything.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Like, yeah, but I just mentally has been working for right now.
Have y'all heard of those debt-free clubs or ministries or whatever, where people put money in a pot and they like go through and pay the bills, everybody's in the club bills off?
I've been wanting to start one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wanting to start one of those for
Wait, what now?
It comes from this African what is it? It's not a proverb, because it's real. If some villages, they have this pot and they put the money in it, and if people need something, like, you know, I want to go buy extra chicken because I'm gonna start selling chickens. So you get the money out the pot, you sell chickens, the money you make from selling the chickens, you put that, you know, what you took out of the pot back. Mm-hmm. People steady putting in the pot, you know, and you come and get it, buy what you need or whatever that's supposed to help you, the debt or whatever you need. And, you know, after you pay your bill off, then you go and you pay your money back, you know, and keep growing and growing and growing. Okay. But I've heard of some clubs. The first time I heard it was a church ministry where these people join this ministry and you go and you show them your debt. I got this bill that's out of control. And the people are putting in the pot the whole time, you know, like a membership fee, I guess, or whatever. So they pay the bill off, or they show you how to pay it off. And, you know, people continuously putting into the ministry, and they like divvy the money up to everybody's bill, everybody's debt free and thing.
I like that. I would be a part of something like that. I would just be afraid. I mean, I always go to the negative, but I would be afraid somebody would like manipulate it.
I know. I would be afraid that somebody bill gonna get paid before mine.
I know they got rules. I'm sure they have rules about if you've been there a long time. Yeah. What a goal is, you're not supposed
to. What if I go and get my bills paid and then leave?
Nah, that ain't right. That ain't right.
Get that red pizza.
No. I've been thinking about that. I'm dead serious. I never heard of it before. I thought it was an original idea. I'm thinking I'm over here patting myself on the back like, yeah.
Your ancestors sent it to you, girl. Your ancestors.
Yeah. That sounds cool. Across the water. Yeah, because I was thinking about, like, my student loan debt is it's out the water. It is six figures.
Yeah.
For my little degree that I don't even use. It is. And I was thinking, I was like, Lord, I don't know what I'm gonna do, because I got a lot of private loans. I had like some, you know, federal loans or whatever, but all my loans, most of my loans are private.
Well, hopefully, so, we, you know, hopefully
I really screwed the pooch on that one.
I think what they need to do is look at each account. They always talk about creating jobs, so here's a job for them to do. They can get people to look at each of these student loans and show. I know they got a record of it, and people probably got their own record of how much they've paid. If you've paid up to what your tuition was, I think they should just drop the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you ain't paid.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Well, yeah, I'm trying to keep it
fair. Yeah,
fair, I guess.
Yeah, I understand.
I wish they would just drop it off.
Don't girl, even I went to school for free. And they let them old knuckleheads in the boomer generation, they let them suckers go to school for free.
Not only that, athletes be going to school for free.
They ain't the ones that need it. We need it. No, right. No. You know good. What? It was everything for a time.
They be sitting on the bench and still getting their tuition free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ain't that great?
But yeah. You know what, though? Everybody's story is unique. I'm not going to begrudge somebody free education.
No, that's right. That's
yeah. Just because, you know, I was smart enough to take out.
Right.
I was wanting to take out these doggone private loans, but that's neither here nor there. So who do you admire for finance education?
Well, I used to look up to Mama because I just thought that was really neat how she taught me about ledgers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how to put your bill, because I just found it, the one I had when I was in high school and college. I didn't have no bills back then, but
yeah.
She showed me how to write it out. So I used to admire her for it. But lately, I just haven't been thinking about it, I guess. Because yeah. Like I said, it's all automated, so I don't have to sit down and...
To answer the question about the person that I look toward, or like admire?
Yeah.
I don't have anybody that I admire, really, because, and I'm just being completely honest, that money stuff is so boring. So I'm like, all I gotta do is just save money. I don't have to watch no 30-minute video. Somebody tell me how to put money in a tree and save
just
it.
Save it. Yeah, just save it. That'll be my class. I need to do a class. You come pay me $5,000 to come to my seminar. I'm gonna tell you, put your money in the bank, save it.
Right. Yeah. All right, class is over. Goodbye.
Thank you for your $5,000. I don't like I don't know. I feel like this is going to be so like tricky to say, but I feel like the majority of information about finances and wealth building should be
yourself.
Free.
And you can find it yourself. You don't have to have anybody.
It should be free.
That's right.
But it should be a class. I'm a bit of a nerd.
In high school, I admire people that, I watched this show called, American Greed.
Yeah,
you
I heard love
about
that,
you see how these people find those loopholes and stuff like that. I know it's illegal, but it's like it shouldn't be such a tangled web, like you said. People should be able to get all this information for free. But since it is a tangled web, I do admire those people that can find those loopholes. They find those seem to be easy ways to get money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It don't last long.
Oh, yeah. You know,
but them rascals be clever, though. If you just get that cleverness and use it for good, how far could they go? But, you know, they're trying to make the money quick. Everybody want it right now. And scheming and lying. When they could use that genius and be right. I saw an episode once, and this guy was making his own. I mean, he was like an artist with it, making his own money. He just had it, and he had it down. It was like, dang. Even the FBI agents were like, man, this is good.
Oh, my goodness.
He need to work at the U.S. Mint.
Like, you need to come over here, bro.
Wow.
I admire those type of people. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it's like.
No.
I think it's almost like, you know how they say, like, people that can sing is a talent. People that, you know.
Can scam is a talent.
And not scam. I mean, people that
it's a talent. It's just they using it for the wrong reason. It's just
right.
Like,
that's what I'm
just
saying.
Just like drug dealers. They basically scientists.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's genius behind it. It's chemistry behind it. It's
you
know, it's this level of understanding that the natural person does not have. Because you could give me this, you know, these documents and stuff like that, and I'd be like, I don't even know what this stuff means. You know, they break it down and they find the loopholes and they go and they twist up laws and rules around. That's who I admire. I know it's not right for them to do that. I wish that they would use their talent for good, but I'd be like, dang, I would never thought to do that.
I guess that's not really like, I guess in some kind of way, kind of financial, but I really admire people, especially Black people recently, that have been starting to like invest in like real estate and all of that. DJ Envy.
DJ Envy.
I mean, I like DJ Envy. He look goofy, but you know, he's one.
True.
you know, all the famous people.
You know the people.
You ain't got nobody else?
I can't think of nobody else right now. Y'all put me on the spot. We all talk about DC. And then I thought about that video of Webby trying to say Charlamagne the God.
Y'all got some names on y'all.
That was funny.
But yeah, so people that can take real estate and turn it into like wealth for, you know, your generations.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
I've always been interested in real estate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe what our next step would be to deal with the guilt around money that we have. Like you were talking earlier, T1, about like having this in your head about like, I need that $20. Like, right. My kids got to eat and you even need to have children.
I didn't have no children.
Yeah. So I know everyone has their hang ups with money, but mm-hmm. sometimes I feel guilty about wanting it or needing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I shouldn't want money if I have King Jesus, you know?
What?
I never thought that. No, one time, y'all, and this was before the pandemic. I was looking at my check when it came in. I was like, that's when they were getting them garnished. I've been paying on my student loans though. So, but anyway, I was looking and I was like, ooh, Lord, you know I don't pay my tithes this time, Lord. You know I still love you, right?
You start looking at that tithe money real hard.
Ooh, that's a whole almost $200 I could have in my, you know.
Yeah. But go ahead. I was gonna say my thing I need to let go of is just the doubt. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, that's not my playing field. Like, I'm not good enough to be over there trying to who are you over here trying to get a Roth IRA, you know? Get your Roth self back over there to the corner.
You know, Roth yourself right on up to the corner. Scuttle.
You know, I always felt like, you know, that's not my I'm not trying to be more than I am, you know? Yeah, that's what it always felt like to me. Like, you just go over there, get your little count your little nickels and be quiet. You over to what you're gonna invest. You know?
When in all actuality, it's not you mm-hmm. trying to be more than what you are. It's mm-hmm. just you trying to be a better you.
That's right. Yeah, right. That's right. And I wish I would have seen that early on. Mm-hmm. Earlier.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So out of all of that, what are y'all laughing at?
I'm laughing at I don't know, I guess that's what I'm laughing at. Just me and because like when they say when you're young, right? You're young and single, you're what they call it? You high risk, I guess.
Ready to mingle? Oh.
No, yeah. Girl.
I'm sorry.
You know, they tell you, like, you can invest aggressively when you're young because you don't you know, nothing to lose or whatever. You just can play with your money like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I was always, like, this old soul, like, no, let me keep my money. I need it. You know? And people would tell me all the time, you know, like the little seminars y'all mentioned. I used to go to them at work, too. And they'd be like, oh, you know, this is the time, you know, because that was, like, what, 21, 22 or whatever working.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time you should be investing and moving money around and doing things. And I'm like, they see a young person, but I felt in myself like, no, I gotta go over here and pay these bills and help these children get to school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No.
So looking back at it now, I'm like, girl,
you should have been playing it fast and loose.
Yeah. And I remember they had this guy in college. He used to call me high risk. He said, oh no, you high risk. I think he was Nigerian or something like that. He said, you high risk. And I was like, what is he talking about? I'm low risk. I think he was into, like, investing and stuff like that. He was really smart. And I wasn't listening to what he was saying. I was like, what you talking about? I don't know what high risk. I didn't. At the time, I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know he was talking about gains and liabilities and assets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I laugh at it now. I guess laugh to keep from crying. Because I got a better understanding now. I can laugh at myself and the way I thought about money.
Yeah.
That's what I'm laughing at.
I'm going to tell you what I'm laughing at. Them garnishments that's going to come back in January. No, I'm just playing.
I guess you like me. You got to laugh to keep from crying. I would be boo-hooing, girls. But I thought garnishment was just for people that don't pay their child support.
Girl, well, I wasn't paying my child support. I wasn't paying my child support to Sally Mae.
They said you got that baby education. Now you got to pay for it.
Yeah, but This is a story from when I was younger. It's just, it has nothing really to do with planning or anything like that. But I guess it has something to do with being financially literate, I guess. I don't know. So I had went to the fair. And I had $50, okay? So $50. And then that was the day where you could pay and ride. So I'm doing all right. You know, I could have got me something to eat or whatever. So I get to this stand. And it's a big something stupid toy. And I don't even like toys like that. So I'm standing at the booth and I'm like, I can win that. So the man's showing me how easy the game is. So I'm like, I can do that. So I noticed that he gives me a different ball than what he has. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting the ball and I'm like, I want that ball that you just had. He was like, this is the ball. So I'm throwing it. And I think every time it was three balls for $10. Mm-hmm. So I'm throwing all three of them. Ain't never getting nothing. So I go again. $20 more dollars. He keep giving me that same ball. And he's showing me again. Look, it's easy. And he's switching balls. And I'm looking at him. And my big dumb self just handed him money over.
No.
I had $0.
Oh, no. I didn't know
that. I ain't getting nothing to eat. I was so mad and disgusted leaving that fair. And y'all, let me tell you something. Yeah. I was grown.
No.
Oh, I was grown, y'all.
How old were you?
I was grown. I had to be 19, 20 years old. I was grown. Grown enough to know better. I was so upset. So upset.
I got a mental picture of like baby teen.
No.
Two.
I
know that's a different box.
So grown. So that I was very, very irresponsible with my ducats.
Oh man, that is funny to me.
Oh man. And the funny thing is, I was trying to find an ATM so I could go get my money. Because I was like, he's gonna give me that toy. I'm gonna win this game. But I didn't find one, so I just left. That was fun.
Wow.
But you know what? We make mistakes like that. It's all right.
I know better now.
Yeah.
I know to be smarter with my money now.
I don't know what I'm laughing at. I can't beat that one.
That's how irresponsible I used to be with my money.
Oh man.
Until I had Margo.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do a little bit better. But then I start thinking about all them times when I was getting paid. I had a good job, was getting paid good, didn't have no, all I had was a car note and insurance. Didn't have no rent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Me too. I think about that too.
All the money I could have saved.
I might have learned this from mama, but keeping the receipts for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be what I was laughing at. When I was getting ready to graduate college, I still had the receipts from my freshman year from when I had that large lump sum of money. And my boyfriend and I were sitting down on the floor going through my papers because I needed to get rid of some stuff. And he's just looking at the receipts. And he's like, when did you buy this? Why? And he started tallying it up because, you know, he nosy and he like money or whatever. He was like, so he like tallying up. He was like, wait. So you had how much money? And I was like, bought some clothes and stuff like that, you know, like kind of like shrugging it off. And he said, you could have bought a car. You could have saved that. You could have put down for a house. Like all this stuff he was telling me I could have did. And I'm like, yeah, but like the hot dogs are good.
So that's like, the part that hurts. That's the part that hurts when you go back.
Going back and looking, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. All right, y'all. Yay. We got another episode now.